You are listening to the Midlife with Courage podcast. This is where women in midlife come for inspiration, motivation, and sometimes a little education to help them flourish after 40. Don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Now let's get started. Welcome back to the Midlife with Courage podcast. I am Kim Benoy, your host, and I'm so happy to have you all here. I'm also very happy to have my guest with me here today. Her name is Catherine Henry. Welcome to the podcast, Catherine.
Thank you, Kim. I'm thrilled to be here with you.
We're going to talk about a book that you wrote called A Dime to Say I Love You. And first, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, where you are in the world, what you do?
Oh, I live on the West Coast, Napa Valley, California. I am the mother to a puppy poodle. I have lots of family around. I still work in the corporate world. I'm a corporate director for Lululemon. I also have a startup in the energy healing space and work with some amazing people there. Love to golf, love to be active, love to travel, love to cook, love to spend time with friends and family, and recently have now call myself an author. So that is a new thing in my world.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that too, because I'm excited about that. But first, can you share with us a time that you felt courageous or showed courage in your life?
I think to some extent, writing the book and putting that out in the world, I had quite a few folks were like, wow, this is really personal. But I felt like if I was going to write this book and share the lessons, what had to accompany the lessons were the experiences that brought those lessons. And in order to do that, that required a little bit of vulnerability. And so I think that took a little bit of courage because I've enjoyed my life largely under the radar and now find myself far from that.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about your journey. You mentioned that you work for Lululemon. Maybe start with wherever you'd like to start with your story. How's that?
Well, if I speak to kind of the career journey, I started my career with a hard hat and a tool belt as a telecom technician and worked my way into roles of managing big projects and programs and ended up in the consulting world and then in executive roles that kind of bridged that conversation, if you will, between technology and delivering, you know, new business process capabilities. And that ultimately took me into executive roles, leading technology and operating organizations. And after things happened with Lisa, that the cancer battle and all of that, I ended up being gifted the opportunity to join the board of directors of Lululemon. And that has been my kind of focus, along with more passion projects of what I want to do in the world or how I want to try to have some kind of positive impact in any way I can, including now writing this book.
Wonderful. And you mentioned Lisa, and that's what the book centers around. But there's so many, all of your experiences that you talk about in the book. I love how you bring together the lessons you learned with the experiences. And I love how you said that you had to be vulnerable in that book and kind of share that. And that's scary. That's courageous as well. There's a couple of things that I kind of came up with as things I wanted to talk about, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Awesome. So the first thing that we talked about, well, first of all, tell us about Lisa. Who is Lisa?
Lisa was a powerhouse of a human, 6 foot tall, a woman of deep integrity. When Lisa said she was going to do something, you always knew it was going to get done. She was a protector of people. She would always be one who would jump in and stand up for somebody who maybe needed a little bit of support or love or care. If others, like if someone were bullying, she'd be the first one to be like, oh no, leave this individual alone. Her nickname from being a young girl was Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
And she kind of personified that in many ways. And when she set her mind to something, she did it. Just very inspirational human being.
Wonderful. And she was your wife?
Yes. And friend and mentor and challenger.
I love the relationship that you have in the book. You kind of go through that a little bit and how one of the things that stood out to me when you were talking about Lisa and her experiences, it's such a great lesson about forgiveness. She grew up with a dad who was not nice to her, and that's putting it mildly. Do you want to talk about that and how that forgiveness came to be eventually?
Yeah, and how freeing that was. And it was difficult because, you know, and I dealt with other things too, and forgiveness came into play. But what she learned and what she ended up doing through the process in forgiving him, even though, you know, she just really wanted an apology, or really even less than that, an acknowledgement of some of the things that happened. And it became clear that just wasn't going to happen, especially when Alzheimer's came into the picture. And her process of just the love for her father had to endure, because there was good there too, right? I mean, we can tend to focus on singular things, but the more we open the aperture and in her case, see the whole of that person, you know, her father had been through, he had endured just really terrible abuse as a child. And he also was her father. He also was a protector. He also, you know, was so much more. So I think she was able to kind of contextualize and realize that, you know, yes, those things happened, but there was so much more to him. And it was far more important for her to be able to have some level of a positive relationship with him, especially as he became, you know, very much childlike. You know, to be able to, I think that protector in her, that caregiver in her, if you will, it won out over the anger and over the judgment that would have had her hold on to unforgiveness. And as a result, it lightened her load. It lightened her load, and it enriched her life and her relationship with him, you know, through those last few years.
We all probably have situations or people in our lives that they're never going to apologize or even acknowledge what they've done to us. So we do have to learn how to let that go and forgive, like you said. That's a big thing to learn and not easy either. And another thing I wanted to talk about, as you went through her cancer journey, your cancer journey, you were a team, very much so. At least that's what came out to me in the book. Surrendering to the process. And I'm just going to read it because I had it written down. Letting your intellect and instincts guide the decisions that were made. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, sometimes when I talk about surrender, or when I even think about this whole process of being in flow, you know, sometimes people will react or see that as a sense of weakness almost, like, oh, fine, let's just float. And that's not what it's about, right? We fought and we set goals and we went after things that we could. But we let go, and we, or along the way, we learned, right? Sometimes we did, and it was a process. It still is a process. But we learned that you set the goals, you put the bar out there, but then you let go of that result, and you don't get attached to that result, because it's that attachment to having a particular result occur that creates the suffering. And once we were able to do that, like, we still, you know, we still used our brains, we still fought, we still did everything we could. But when things would go a different way than we wanted or thought or hoped, we had to just be with that, because it's what is happening. So the less you fight it, and the more you can come into a place of acceptance and say, okay, this is happening, so now what are we going to do? So it's not at all a passive thing, but it is a kind of a flowing interaction with life. You know, life is going to do things that are out of our control. We keep what's in our control, we focus, we do what we can, but then we come to a place where we just kind of like take the ride and let the ride be what it is.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ladies, I am so excited about my new venture in this podcast. I'm calling it Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. You are going to get me, Kim Benoy, once or twice a month. I'm going to be getting real with you about the conversations that I have with my guests. And I'm going a little bit deeper. I'm going to bring my own personal experiences into it. I'm going to share what I've got going on in the hopes that you will share right back with me. This is not going to be me just talking in front of the microphone. I want your input. I want your participation. If you go to my show notes at the end of this episode, you'll see a support the show. That is where you can subscribe to Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. For only $5 a month, you're going to get this extra bonus content once, twice a month, and we're going to talk about what's really happening in midlife. I'm going to share my experiences. I'm going to get real. I'll probably get a little vulnerable. I'll be sharing things I don't normally share. So please subscribe so that you can get in on the founding members of this new Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. I'll see you there. Do you think that women in midlife especially have to learn that? I know it's something I've had to learn.
In my experience interacting with women and seeing some of the differences, you know, I have experienced a lot of times that women are very much trying to care for others, in some ways please others, in some ways try to be what they think they need to be in order to fit into the world they exist in, which can oftentimes be a little bit more framed by masculine characteristics or tendencies or qualities, none of which are bad. But what is unhealthy and frankly is holding back from all the beauty that we can bring into the world as women. What is bad is when we don't like figure out just who we are and live into that and be that. And I think as we get through, it can be age or it can be experiential. There are some individuals that are very young and are quite, you know, wise in how they experience or interact with the world. And then there are some that have lived many, many years and haven't gotten there yet. But I do think at midlife, there is a general theme that I have seen that women kind of are like, you know what, I'm going to take care of me. Because there's finally this realization, first of all, maybe your kids are all gone and all the things you've had to care for are no longer there to occupy you. But more so, you get to a point where it's like, wait a minute, I have so much more to offer and I'm ready to live into that. So that's what I have experienced and what I've seen.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk about you now for a little bit. Just how you embrace the different things that happened. And it's almost like you are on a journey and you're doing all these other things like spiritually. And talk about that a little bit, because you had a challenging experience as a younger person too. And I can see your growth in the book as you talked about it, like spiritually. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I think the seed was planted, you know, in those experiences, especially Kansas, that kind of brought it to flourish in some ways. And I believe that every single one of us has the seed of divine within us. It is our life. It is the spark of life that exists within us and innervates all that is and is the one thing that connects us all. The fabric, if you will, of love that connects us all. Mm-hmm. I also think that having difficult experiences in many ways are a gift, because they can allow us to go more deeply. You know, when we face challenge, when we face difficulty, it creates this space of friction where we go more deeply to explore and to try to rationalize or figure out, or like, what do I do with these experiences? So the spiritual journey for me, when I tried to end my life and didn't, and then ended up in this place as a teen, it gave me at that moment in my life in time, I had this realization that I just felt like I had this power within me. And why don't I just live into that and figure out what that is? Like, it really was something I was just quite curious about. Like, it felt like something that wasn't me, but was me. I didn't even know. And I it began a quest like, okay, what is that? And many of the dogmatic teachings that had come to me from organized religion, I started to just explore, and over decades, frankly, through reading everything from Vedic, Sanatan Dharma, Buddhism, Zen, just in the interest of curiosity. I just want to understand, like, there's billions of people on this earth, and not, they have different experiences, and people have existed on the earth for millions of years, presumably. So, you know, broaden the perspective. And that was anchored in something deeply spiritual, and trying to uncover really what is it that I feel is within, that exists within me. What is this energy? What is this strength? What is this power? And that continues to be a driving force for me, is connecting, uncovering, determining what is that, and how do I free that? How do I live into that? How do I connect with that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it will be a journey until I take my last breath, and then we'll probably continue in another form that's not this human body.
Yes, and I love that too, how you talk about that with Lisa too, and how her physical body isn't here, but she's still here, that energy. And that's something I truly believe in. I really think that Tell us about the dimes, because the book is called A Dime to Say I Love You.
So when we were together, that was just a thing. We would sometimes it even would be toss a penny. Hey, a penny for your thoughts. What are you thinking? But the dime was something that we would hide for each other. And, you'd just find one and it was just this little reminder that you're loved. And it would always bring a smile to my face or hers. And after she transitioned, that first night, I'd found a dime on her pillow. And
Wow.
it was so incredibly profound, and it continues to happen. And I've found from folks I've talked to have mentioned how they receive dimes or pennies, or some folks, how come you won't leave me a dollar, silver dollar? Come on, let's raise let's raise the bar here. How about a cougaron? Something. Let's really raise the bar here. And the reason that's the title of the book is that there's a theme that runs through the book around dime moments, which are, for me, have been moments in time, and they weren't always attached to a physical dime. They could be other experiences, but something where a profound kind of moment that takes me out of where I'm at and brings me really present. So maybe a moment where I'm just consumed with, worry or with fear or with despair or something. And just this simple little memento, this simple little thing can completely shift my perspective. And to me, those are little knocks from beyond, from divine, from, cosmic consciousness, whatever language you might want to use for it, that are the reminders of wait, don't get consumed. Come back to reality and reset a little bit.
Yeah, I love that. The day after my husband's grandma, who we were very close to, the day after she passed on, I found a very shiny nickel right next to my car in the parking lot where I was working, and it's still in my car. I still have it in my cup holder. Like that was a little gift from grandma. She wasn't the penny kind. She was like, I'm going to do a little bit more. So
Five times more. That's rough.
exactly. So throughout your journey, resilience kind of seems to be another theme that I wrote down here. I wanted to talk about just being fully present in the moment, and I think that dime kind of fits right in with that.
It does. Resilience is, it's just a part of life. We have such capacity as human beings to endure, to thrive, to grow, to learn. And, resilience, I look at it as like, I like to work out and train and study and learn and grow. And, to me, the resilience, a great workout, you're tearing down those muscles and they're coming back stronger. So resilience in the spirit of an emotional experience or even mental or spiritual is how do you challenge your thinking that ultimately, you grow, you learn, you expand. And it's not by going down a path of like always surrounding yourself with people that think the exact way that you do. You're not going to expand or grow. Sometimes we need to have conversations, or we need to connect, or we need to explore things that don't necessarily sit perfectly with us. And that expands our capacity. It expands our awareness or the aperture. And it doesn't mean that you're going to accept those things, like especially now in the political climate we're in, where people have views that they're in some cases even willing to hurt others for. Rather than down that path, we can find space to listen to others and not necessarily agree, but we can seek to understand and just, sometimes agree to disagree, or maybe a lot of times agree to disagree. But that process brings in resiliency because it challenges our norm or what we accept. And we can have the resilience to have that challenge, yet still endure and continue on.
If we would just not try to be right all the time, but like you said, get curious. Pretty much everyone has the same needs that we all want to be happy. We all want to live our lives. Just because someone thinks differently than me about certain subjects doesn't mean that they're bad, but we've been taught
Right.
that. So we need to
Right.
overcome that. Overcome
Yeah, and the
that
more
idea.
we can find our places where we connect, to your point, there's so much more that we have in common and that connects us. And the more that we can find that and have that be our base, the more we can endure the things that we don't agree upon or the things that separate us.
Right. And that relates a little bit here too about storytelling and sharing your own stories. Because part of my goal with this podcast and with the other work I'm doing is trying to connect women in midlife, and it's through storytelling. So,
Yes.
and you sharing your story is another way that we can do that.
All of us sharing our stories. It's
Yeah.
powerful, and it's a such a genuine and meaningful way to connect when we see each other, because then we make so many assumptions about people. You look at someone on the surface, you look at whether it's where they live, where they're spending time, or who they surround themselves with, and all of a sudden now you've filled in the entire story of who that individual is and even how they've been brought up. It's just what happens, what we do. It's
Sure.
part of how we exist, even how we experience the world. There is so much that our brain fills in for us as to what we're seeing just based on past and history, not based on what's actually around us. It's
Right.
quite phenomenal, really. And we do that for people, and we need to back off of that. Like, really do.
Yeah. I think it goes back to just being curious. You know, I'm trying, if something someone does or says is not agreeing with me, or turns into something negative, I'm like, okay, why are they like that? Why, what's going on there? I want to know more. I'm
Yeah, and
trying to do that.
maybe assume the best instead of the worst is the other thing too. So instead
Yes.
of when someone's, whatever, behaving in a way that you don't like, instead of thinking, whatever, they're jerks, they're whatever, think about, someone driving crazy, like maybe they're on the way to the hospital and they just got told that their child's in the hospital versus they're cutting me off because you have a personal vendetta against me. It's like, it's choice. Like, what do you want to think? Well, maybe you can choose to think something that leads to compassion instead of leading to anger.
Yes. Everyone will feel better that way.
Yes. And be more curious than afraid. I find that to be a fun one sometimes. It's like, okay, maybe I'll be more curious than afraid here.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Be more curious than afraid. Wonderful. So, Catherine, what's next for you? What's coming down the road for you, do you think? Or are you just letting things come?
Well, I'm letting things come, and I also continue to just the practices that I have for connecting, for meditation, for traveling different places. I have, you might have seen the top of the head of my new puppy,
I did.
Pono, who's very much in the book. Pono transitioned and went to be with Lisa earlier this year,
Oh.
and not too long before that, this puppy came into my life that I had not planned to have. So I've got that. I have a beautiful life, a family, friends, travel, and I'm letting the book take me wherever it takes me. I've done some events like book clubs or book signings, podcasts like this, some live events that I have found are just people are opening up to such beautiful conversation and connection. Like the book seems to be a connector for people and breaking down some like emotional walls that people have. It's written for someone to be whatever is useful to them. That's really the sole purpose. But I'm open to how I'm called in that in any way to share and just enjoy the life that I have
Yeah.
and wherever it takes me.
I
This
love
too
it.
shall pass. So.
Yeah. I love it. So a dime to say I love you, and I don't know if it'll show up there. There we go. Well, that didn't show up very well. Anyway,
Mine will show up.
there you go. There you go. Nice. Yeah, I love it. Where can people find that if they'd like to buy that from you?
It's available in all channels. Even your indie booksellers should have it, and online on Amazon, Walmart, Target, all places have it. And
Wonderful.
very soon, my Audible book will be coming out, which I
Oh,
recorded,
nice.
and I'm really excited about that. I don't
Okay.
have the official publication date, but it will be soon. It should already be available on Spotify and some of the other
Okay.
Apple channels and stuff. So that's an
Okay.
exciting thing that's coming.
Yeah. How was that process to read your own book?
It was really good. I did it with a friend who's a sound engineer that I'm involved in with another company I work with. And so it was very comfortable. We had fun together. I didn't think I would like hearing my own voice, but I've listened to it so many times. I still enjoy listening to it, and I have my own copy that I continue to read. when I'm like, I think I want to remind myself a little bit about that forgiveness section or self-love or something like that. But it was kind of profound and cathartic to hear in my own voice. And it didn't even necessarily feel like it was me. It just felt like a person telling their story. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good. And I'm glad I'm the one who read it. It was fun.
I always wonder about that. When you're writing your own story, I really think the author should be the one that reads it, if that works for them. But I think that's
Yeah.
neat. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done
Awesome.
that with a few audiobooks, and I find when they're your own story, or even like Covenant of Water, Abraham Verghese reads that. And because he just like knows all the voices of the characters, and there's a lot of crazy characters in that.
Awesome. Well, Catherine, I hate to say goodbye to you,
No, thank you. It's been a
but
total pleasure. I really appreciate you taking the
yeah.
time and the work that you're doing in the world,
Thank
connecting
you.
women in midlife, and something I very much care about and support too. We need to
Wonderful.
care for each other, and thank you for the work you're doing in that.
Oh, thank you so much. Is there any one last little message you want to leave with our listeners?
The only thing we didn't talk about is the AFGOs. Those are
Oh, yes.
another freaking growth opportunity. I just bring that up because that was such a helpful thing for us sometimes when we felt like we were just being piled on by the universe. Like, why are we getting hit with this? Isn't enough enough? And we would recontextualize the situation and say, well, it's another freaking growth opportunity. So let's just see it as that. And it would bring a little bit of laughter and lightness. So I
Yeah.
share that. That's in the book, A Time or
Yes.
Two.
And I didn't write that down otherwise, but I was thinking of it as we were talking, and then I didn't bring it back up. Another frickin' growth opportunity. Did you use the word
AFGO.
frickin' or did you use a different word?
We used a different word often.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Sometimes with really good, pronunciation.
I'm going to
Yep.
use that. I could have used that phrase the last couple of years with certain situations, but yeah, I'm going to keep that in my mind for future use.
It's like the dimes, it's just kind of one of those things that it kind of can shift a little bit that
Yeah.
perspective or the space that you're in. And instead of, being in the why me or, I don't want to say victim, but kind of, it's like, why is this
Yeah.
happening to me? It's like, oh, cool. It's another freaking growth
Another
opportunity.
freaking growth opportunity. Wonderful. Awesome.
Yep. And
Well,
you can
Kath,
pronounce it different ways.
yeah, you say whatever, just not here because it's a clean podcast,
Flipping.
but flipping.
There's, yeah.
Yeah. I like freaking, but I probably will use the other word to be honest. Awesome.
Thank you, Kim. I really
Yeah.
appreciate our time together and hope you have a lovely rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care.
You've been listening to the Midlife with Courage podcast. If you liked what you heard, I would love it if you would leave a review. Or even better, send a link of this episode to a friend. Until next time, take care of your beautiful self.